This is a download from Deutsche Welle Radio. For more information, visit our website at dw-world.de.
Deutsche Welle Radio. Living Planet.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Nina Hase. The basic principles of global warming have been known for decades, but predicting exactly how humans are changing the climate has been one of the biggest scientific challenges of our times and the source of much political debate. Since 1988, a scientific arm of the UN, known as the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has been synthesizing the knowledge of thousands of climate scientists from over 130 countries. The panel regularly issues a consensus forecast of climate change. The first part of their latest report is coming out on the 1st of February. I spoke to Steve Sawyer from Greenpeace International earlier, and I first asked him how the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change actually produces its reports, because its charter compels it to provide advice on the science of climate change, the impact of it, and what we can do to tackle it.
The main vehicle through which it does that is through so-called assessment reports, of which the one that is being debated over the final stages of in Paris at the moment is the fourth. The first was in 1990. And provided the scientific basis for the discussion of and the negotiation of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. The second assessment report appeared in 1995 and was the scientific and policy basis for the negotiation of the Kyoto Protocol. And the third was released in 2001 and really was the driver which kept the Kyoto Protocol alive after the Bush administration tried to kill it by pulling out in early 2001. It is an assessment report in that there's not any real new scientific research done for it, but it takes all of the published literature from the peer-reviewed journals on the subject and tries to synthesize them down into what is a very large document to basically provide the definitive agreed standard baseline, the thing that everybody agrees on.
You've mentioned that the last report was published by the IPCC in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Can you outline what will be the main differences in this week's report?
Well, there's been an explosion of scientific research and publications and data on the subject of climate change in the last 6 or 7 years. So there is a lot more precision and a lot more detailed understanding of how the climate system works and a more detailed understanding of how precisely human intervention is influencing the climate. There is no conceivable other way to explain what has happened in the last 100 years other than through human influence on the climate. And on that basis and on a much greater understanding of the actual dynamics of the climate, we have a much clearer idea of the range of possibility what might happen in the course of the rest of this century if we don't take dramatic steps to change course.
We've also had the Stern Review, which wasn't the first economic report on global warming, but which was probably the largest or most widely discussed report of its kind. And Greenpeace has just launched its global energy strategy. How can all these reports that are issued on the topic change attitudes and provoke action, and how much of an impact can they really have?
Well, I think the reports themselves are, in terms of the detail, is important for the people who are engaged, the specialists who are engaged in that subject, to actually, it's the battleground for the ideas of the people who are actively engaged in the details of the debate. On a public level, what's most important, of course, is the mainline messages that come out. And the mainline message that comes out from the scenario is that, yes, the problem is dire, but there is hope. There is a clear path forward. With existing technology, using the power of the wind and the sun and the seas and the rivers, and we don't need nuclear power. The main thing that we can do in the short term to help improve the situation is to save energy. And there are many ways to do that which are not only cheap, but they'll make us money. What we want to definitely tell people is, please don't despair yet. We still have time. Not much time, but we do have some time.
How much time do we actually have left for making crucial decisions in energy infrastructure?
It's very hard to put a specific date on it. But in emissions terms, globally, emissions which are continue to grow need to peak globally sometime before the end of the next decade, in other words, before 2020 or around 2020, and start to come down fairly rapidly after that if we're to avoid the worst ravages of climate change. So in order to have emissions start to reduce, actually, by the end of the next decade, we have to start taking pretty dramatic action now. Hopefully the combination of the Stern report and the IPCC report and all of the other wealth of information that's coming to light now about the dire straits that we're in and the urgency of acting, we're hopeful that that can actually come to pass.
Now, talking about emissions, how can global warming actually be tackled seriously when business interest always seems to win the upper hand?
Well, business interests are not all on one side or all pulling in one direction. I mean, the renewable energy business is now a more than $40 billion a year industry in terms of turnover and closer to $60 billion in terms of market capitalization. And it represents some of the biggest corporations in the world, including General Electric, which is the biggest corporation in the world. So it's not all the business, but car companies are generally not very progressive, and neither are coal companies.
And does the IPCC report suggest any concrete measures, like the environmental taxes suggested by the Stern Review?
No, I mean, the IPCC provides policy relevance, but not policy prescriptive advice. And when the Working Group 3 report of this assessment comes out in May, there will be a discussion of the efficacy or what the academic literature says about the efficacy of the various measures which have been tried in some countries or others that are being considered. But it doesn't say do this and don't do that. I mean, that's not their job. That's not their mandate.
And that was Steve Sawyer from Greenpeace International with details on the latest report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change issued on the 1st of February.